Okay, so here we are, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, tonight. Tonight, 2 weeks from tonight. 2 weeks from tonight is, of course, Lel HaSeder. And we discussed a little bit on Shabbos, but first to begin this evening about the koach of Nisan as a whole, we know that the Shlach HaKadosh says that every day, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, every day in Nisan is the power of Rosh Chodesh. Every day is a Rosh Chodesh. But Chassam Sofer says even further. Chassam Sofer says that every day in Nisan is a Chodesh in and of itself. Each day has that koach. And as such, there are 30 days in the month of Nisan. It means there are 30 months. So according to this Chassam Sofer, a wild idea that the month of Nisan is 2.5 years. The month of Nisan has the spiritual energy of 2.5 years. And some explain that this is pshat in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Because there the Gemara tells us very strange thing. It tells us that that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had machlokes about Noach lo la'adam, whether it was more pleasant or whether it was easier for a person to be created or not to be created. And the Gemara Dafka tells us they argued about it for 2.5 years. Why does the Gemara tell us? Like, you won't find other places where the Gemara says, oh, they argued for something for 3 weeks. They argued about something for 5 years. It says they argued about this for 2.5 years, whether Noach lo la'adam libaros, whether it was more pleasant and whether it was calmer for a person to have been created, or whether it would have been easier for a person not to be created. So why does it say for 2.5 years that they debated it? Because some say that that's a remez to the month of Nisan. Because the month of Nisan is a month in which, not really Noach, it's not really an easy month, right? But that's what they're alluding to, that it was a debate about the month of Nisan, that if a person who knows how to use this month well, for such a person, it was roi, the world was roi to be created. And as we said on Shabbos, the Leiv Simcha, Zechus Yigen Aleinu, the Ger Rebbe who said Benisa Nigalu Benisa Nasidin Ligoel, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph, it doesn't necessarily mean that Nisan we were redeemed, so Nisan we will be redeemed, but Nisan we were redeemed, so Nisan we have to prepare for the redemption, and that's based upon the word Asidim in Megillas Esther Perek Gimel Yadalit. That means once Nisan starts, we have to begin preparing for redemption, and in fact the. There is something about the Koach HaTfila, a tremendous Koach HaTfila, that the Tiferet Shlomo, the Radomsker, whose Yahrzeit was today, the Tiferet Shlomo, one of the biggest rabbis in the late 19th century, so he points out that V'ani Tfilasi L'cha Hashem Eis Ratzon, that Hashem, my Tfila should be in front of you at a time of divine favor. And he says, you should know, so whenever it's a time of divine favor, you have to really, really push davening. Whenever it's a time, and he says specifically, that during the whole month of Nisan, it's an Eis Ratzon. During the whole month of Nisan, it's an Eis Ratzon for your tefillas. So the Radomsker says that we have to understand the importance of davening for this month. And of course, one of the ways of preparing for Geula is to daven for Geula. One of the ways that we prepare for it. And the truth is, when it comes to Pesach itself, one of the ways to prepare for Pesach is, of course, davening for Pesach. We say there's a cute idea from the Rimnever, who says that we know the Torah tells us that, we mentioned on Shabbos, that the Karban Pesach can't be cooked, it can't be partially roasted. And as the Gemara says, HaPesach Eino Nechal El Atzli, that the Pesach is not consumed except in a way that it's roasted. And the Rimnever says, Tzli, in Aramaic also means, in Hebrew it means roasted. What does tzali mean in Aramaic? It's a lashon of tzalusa. What is tzalusa? Tzalusa is prayer. The only way to really experience Pesach is by davening for Pesach. You have to daven. You have to daven that you should experience Pesach properly. If a person doesn't daven, Hashem, please help me experience Pesach properly. Please let all of the kochos of Pesach come into me. Let me prepare for Pesach properly. Without tefillah, it doesn't go. We know the famous story of the great tzaddik who Seder night, he was so excited because he really felt all his achanas for Yantif this year. Everyone was preparing properly. He sits down a beautiful Seder, and what happens at Shulchan Aruch? They bring out soup, and he looks down to eat the soup, and what's in the soup? A piece of cracked wheat that's cooking in the soup in front of him, becoming chametz. And he has such chalishas adas, he has such mental defeat, you know, fatigue from that. What? How could that be? He's so broken. And the rest of the Seder was, he was tzebrachin, and he davens before he goes to sleep. He says, Ebshur, why did this happen? How could this happen? How did this happen? Where did this chametz come from? And his father came to him. His father came to him in a dream and said, Min HaShamayim, they allowed me to share with you that the way that it happened was a bird. As that soup was cooking in the fireplace, a bird came over the chimney, dropped the piece of wheat in it. And why did that happen? Because you didn't daven that you should have a kosher Pesach. You put in so many efforts, but you forgot to daven. Nothing in this world happens with tefillah. That's what we learned together in Shabbat Parshas Bereishis. If you remember, when we had Parshas Shir on the night of October 9th, that's what we spoke about. Spoke about nothing in this world happens without tefillah. And so even when we're getting ready for Pesach, what do we have to know? We have to know that we have to daven that we should be zocha to proper Pesach. Right? We should daven that we should be zocha to prepare properly. We should be zocha that all of the spiritual energies that are involved in a Pesach and the entire month of Nisan, daven for it. If you didn't start davening it for ready, start davening now. Start davening now, especially we said the Radomtsker holds the whole month of Nisan. It's a tremendous Ace Ratzon. It's a tremendous Ace Ratzon. And some say that this deep yearning for Pesach is something else. It's not enough to daven, but a person has to have a great tshuka to be able to experience Pesach in the Seder night. After all, Seder night is referred to as Lel Shimurim. But there are tzaddikim who say a night of watching, a night of guarding. But what else does Shimur mean? Shimur means preserve, but also v'aviv shamar es adavar. His father was anticipating, what's going on here? When is this going to happen? Yaakov was waiting to see what was going to happen to Yosef's dreams. He was waiting for it. And so Lel Shimurim, they say it's the night that you have to wait for, the night they have to be yearning, what's going to happen this night? And the Sfas Emes writes, based on this yisod, that really on Pesach night, on the night of the Seder, everyone experiences a geula. Everyone's individual soul experiences a geula. But the Sfas Emes says that the degree that you have yearning for Pesach, the degree that you have that yearning to experience the geula, that, to that degree, you're going to experience geula. If you don't have that yearning, you're not going to have it. So we have to know, we have to, you know, 2 weeks now, 2 weeks, as we said from Rav Avram Shor on Shabbos, right, the Beis Shabbosos, if the Jewish people would keep two Shabbosos, Miyad Hayu Nigalim, the Gemara and Shabbos, and Rav Avram Shor holds that it's these 2 weeks, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Erev Pesach. These are the 2 weeks that if the Jewish people keep it properly, right, Shamru B'nai Yisrael, if the Jewish people keep these 2 weeks, they anticipate, they yearn during these 2 weeks properly, Miyad Hayu Nigalim, immediately we would be redeemed. So we have to understand that the preparations for Pesach is one, the preparations of tefillah. Two, it's a preparation just of yearning. There's also a third preparation. What's the third preparation? Believe it or not, learning Torah. Learning Torah. It's the Shemi Shmuel quotes from his grandfather, the Kotzker Rebbe, that the light of every yontif is hidden in the Torah of that yontif. To really start accessing the light of a yontif before the yontif, you have to start learning the Torah of the yontif, the mesechta of the yontif, the halachos of the yontif, the machshava of the yontif, the agadata of the yontif. That's part and parcel of the avoda of a yontif. And this is all this from a sefer of Rav Meislish, who spoke here, the Sichos Bavodas Hashem, who spoke in the Reish's home. So he left me a beautiful sefer of different shmuzin he gave, from just 1 year of shmuzin. And he points out that there are some who say, beautiful, such a sweet Russia, that the Gemara tells us in Brachos Nun Gimel Amid Beis about Havdalah, that in Mevarchen al Aner ad sheyoso la'ora, that you don't make the Bori Meresh until what? Until you can like get benefit from the light. But he says, we know from the Pasuk in Mishlei, ki ner mitzvah, v'torah, or, that ner is all, a mitzvah is known as a ner, a lamp, and Torah is the light that comes out of that lamp. So Rav Meisel suggests ein mevarchen al aner ad sheyosa la'oro, to get the benefit, to be able to get the bracha from a yantif, from that ner, from that mitzvah, to really access the wellsprings of spirituality that are hidden in every mitzvah, you have to have the or of that mitzvah. You have to have the Torah of that mitzvah. And that's why we have to understand the mitzvahs before we do them. That's why we should try to learn about the mitzvahs before we do them. That's why everyone here says Birchas HaTorah every morning, whether or not there's a chiyuv limud HaTorah or not. Right? We say Birchas HaTorah every morning because we understand that Torah is part and parcel of every mitzvah. And part of the preparation of Pesach has to be what? Has to be learning about Pesach. Learning for the Seder, preparing for it. Not only in the ways that we're normally going to prepare, that we're going to also talk about. This is all Hakdama. Right? There are three, and then there's the fourth preparation for Pesach. The one that's going to take the most time. The one, right. And we're going to talk about that. No, we're going to talk about that. That's what we're going to talk about, Rachel.
When you said there were I was like, you missed something.
No. We're going to get to the fourth. And that I wanted to bring the Sefer to be able to read from some beautiful, beautiful Torahs from there. But also at the same time, when we talk about preparing for Pesach, so this Rabbi Shemaiah Morgenstern talks about at length in his B'yam Darkecha, and everyone talks about this. This is something we've given many shiurim about, that what is Chametz represent? Chametz represents the Sa'or Shabi'isa. It represents certain negative character traits. It represents the drive to self-destruction known as the Yetzahara. And in Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa, the Gemara in Psachim Hayamid Beis tells us that there's no destroying Chametz except really with burning. That's the most powerful way to get rid of Chametz. And Rav Meisel quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Chav Gimel Chav Tes, Halo Ko Dvari Ke'esh Num Hashem. Hashem says, you know what, my words are like fire. The words of Hashem, the words of Torah, are like words of fire. So if we're saying, Ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa, the only way to really rid ourselves of the chametz, not only of the physical chametz, but the spiritual chametz inside of each and every one of us, is only b'sreifa, with burning. What does that mean? He says, how do we burn it out? He says, Halo ko dvari ke'esh num Hashem. My words are like fire. We have to understand that part and parcel of preparing for Yontif has to be this yisod of trying to learn about the Yontif. And it doesn't have to be long. It could be, 5 minutes a day. It could be when you're driving somewhere. And now that we heard all the news about the eclipse, how many times did you hear about the eclipse today? It was unbelievable. Just that's all they were talking about. Baruch Hashem, the whole world is talking about an eclipse, not us, right? But let them talk about an eclipse. Let the eclipse be every day, so stop talking about us. But Lemaisa, I think that, listen to a little Torah about Pesach. There's so many things that we could do. To sit down with a Sefer, take out Haggadah already now. Every day, just learn a different Vart on the Haggadah. You have 2 weeks of ideas on the Haggadah, 14 ideas of the Haggadah. Start tomorrow. Just take out each thing. Again, talk about the avoda of the night. So I gave you something tonight, okay? So you see, you have something for day one, right? About the power of Nisan, about the power of the yearning, how every Jew is redeemed on Seder night to the degree that we believe in Pesach, to the degree that we're yearning for Pesach. But also to try and find time to be able to learn the Torah of Pesach. It's incredibly, incredibly powerful and something we have to try to do. But of course, the fourth and most significant preparation for Pesach, certainly time-wise, certainly effort-wise, to a degree, is the cleaning and the ridding of the chametz. And here Rav Meislish goes on and on. And again, we could go on for hours about this. But he says that fundamentally, we have to recognize that when we talk about preparing for Pesach, he says we have to try to make sure we have the right attitude. Yes, no matter what we're doing, you have to clean a house, right? I would say every year, even if you're going to Eretz Yisrael because of that horrific story, that family that used to live here, then they moved to Boca when they were going to Israel for their son's bar mitzvah. And they said, Rabbi, we could just close up the house and sell it, right? I'm like, no, you can't. They're like, what do you mean we can't? I'm like, you have to do a basic cleaning. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, you can't have chametz just out. Like, I'm like, who knows? Maybe someone has to go into your house. You can't see chametz. You have to put it in specific places and you have to seal it off. And they're like, wow, come on, that's crazy. I'm like, listen, this is what you really have to do. And what happened? Remember? God forbid, Chalila v'chas, Bruce Schneider, Bruce Schneider, the Schneiders, that the grandmother passed away the first days of Pesach that year. Oh, really? So the Rechman Ulitzan, we had a Levaya, Chol Moed Pesach. And I remember, you know, at the Levaya, it was down in Long Branch, where Braun did the Levaya, and that's where she lived. And I remember him telling me at the Levi's, like, good thing we moved the bread. Or good thing we moved the cereal stuff off the counters. Like, we would have walked into our house. Then chametz all over the place, right?
With the Titans.
Right. So we have to make sure everyone, no matter what you're doing, there is preparation that we have to do for Pesach. But he quotes the famous story of Rav Moshe Feinstein, that we have to be so careful with our attitudes, right? The famous story for Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe himself wrote up in one of his tshuvas why he was asked why there are Jews that were moser nefesh for Shabbos and had children that were not shomer Shabbos. And he said, because it was all in the attitude. When they came home, what did they say? Did they say, Shveretz Zayin Yid, you know, I'm getting fired every Friday, this is horrible, it's so tough to be a Jew. And if a kid heard that, so they're like, yes, so why do I want this? Right? And he said, we have to be so careful. And in fact, we don't say this in the Haggadah, but listen to the Lashon of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Psachim, Perek Yud, Halacha Dalet. You know what the She'elas Rasha is in the Haggadah? The Rasha son. What does he ask in the Haggadah? Ben Rasha, Ma'u Omer, Ma'avodah Azos Lachem, Ma'atorech Hazeh She'atem Matrichin Aleinu B'chal Shana V'shana. What is this Avodah to you? What is this bother that you bother us with every year? Right? That's the Lashon of the Ben Rasha. I mean, the perspective of the Rasha in the Haggadah, the Ben Rasha, is that the whole Avodah of Pesach, getting ready for Pesach, it's all a Tirchi Yisera. It's all such a bother. Why do we have to do all of this? Why do we have to do all of this? And the Rokeach quotes, one of the late Rishonim, he quotes the words of the Yerushalmi. He quotes the words of this Ben Rasha. And he says we have to be so careful how we speak about preparing for Pesach. Because words have power. Words have an effect. Even then as a joke. You have to be so careful. Oh gosh, Pesach cleaning. I hate it. Right? No, chas v'shalom. Not only for your children, but also for yourself. For yourself, we have to know how we talk about something creates the reality for ourselves. And so when we come to preparing for Pesach, he says, we have to be exceptionally, exceptionally careful. And we know, he says, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh writes, by the mitzvah of Eved Ivri in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, he writes a lashon that by a Devar Mitzvah and Kedusha, Tzarech Lahem Torach Kadal V'damim Yekarim. He said, this is the way of the world. This is the way of the spiritual reality. When something is very chashuv, when something has great spiritual payoffs and rewards, we have to know that it's going to be a lot of effort. It's going to be a tremendous avoda. However, our perspective creates what we feel about it. And it's a famous story of the Dubna Magid, but it's based upon a pasuk in Yeshayahu. V'lo osi karasa Yaakov ki yagata bi Yisrael. Right? What is the famous Dubna Magid story? If you remember, they say this is the story of the Kotzker Rebbe. Dubna Magid was not a chassid. He was, in fact, the Litvak. He was close to the Vilna Gaon. He was the one that the Vilna Gaon asked the Dubna Magid to give him Musar. Right? So the Kotzker loved this story of the Dubna Magid. He felt it was Emes Lamito. The famous story, when someone asks one of his workers, you know, there's something at the post office for me. I got a note that it was delivered. Can you go get my package? And so the worker goes to the post office. He comes back a half hour later, sweating, unbelievably schwitzing, holding this back. Said, I brought the package. This is crazy. Oh my gosh, I got your package here. And the boss looks at him and goes, you did not get my package from the post office. He's like, what are you talking about? Yes, I did. He said, what's the sweating from? What's the backache from? What do you mean, schlepping your package? Said, my package should be a little box that's full of diamonds. It's very, again, why does a guy send diamonds through packages? I mean, back in the day, maybe that's what they did, the Dumnamagi. Talking about 1700s, you know what I mean? Right? But he said, that's clearly not my package. If you're schwitzing so much, your back is breaking so much, that's not my package. And what does this mean? So that's the pasuk, what Hashem says, Lo osi karasa Yaakov, this avoda, that I didn't call to you to this avoda. What you're doing now is not the avoda I asked of you. Why? Ki yagata bi Israel. Because you're showing that this is such a bother for you, that this is such a tircha for you. Hashem says, that's not what I asked from you. And yes, it is physically hard. You might have an aching back from it. But as Rav Meislish says, the simcha and the ava that a person should have when they're doing this should be able to help us weather these things. He tells us a story of Rav Chatzkel Abramsky, the Chazon Yecheskel. He was one of the biggest geniuses. The story I always tell about Rav Chatzkel Abramsky, that at the time he was in England. He was the Rosh Bezdin in England. He was a gonatz when he was away in Siberia, in the Russian tundra. He wrote a whole perush on Tosefta from memory. He was like this unbelievable genius. And he was once called as a witness on stand in England. And they said to him, are you the head of the rabbinical? Yes, I am. He goes, is it true that you, many consider you the greatest authority in Jewish law in England? Yes, it's true. He says, is it not true that many say you are the greatest, one of the greatest authorities in Jewish law in all of the world? And he said, yes, it's true. And one of his Talmidim who brought him there said, after Rebbe, like, I'm saying a little humility. He said, I was under oath. What do you expect me to do? Lie? It's true. That was the Chazon Yecheskel, Reb Chatzkel Abramsky. So in his later years, when he was 90 years old, he was living in Eretz Yisrael, and he had a shamash, he had a person, an attendant that would help him. And he would go down the stairs, and it was very hard, and it took him a long time. And Reb Chatzkel Abramsky once saw that his attendant was not in the most pleasant of mood. And he said, I don't understand. When you're helping me, you have to recognize that this is a mitzvah. Every step you're taking with me, when you're helping me down, you're getting packages of diamonds right now. I don't mean for you to suffer in this. And again, he just perceived that the way the guy was acting towards him in a dismissive fashion, he said, what do you mean saying? I'm your chavtzah shal mitzvah, right? At least think of it that way. And so this is why when a person gets involved in mitzvahs, when we have the proper perspective of mitzvahs, it should be ultimately besimcha gedola. We have to know what the payoff is. And you know what the payoff is? You want a wild payoff? You know what the Barditchever says, the Kedushas Levi, Zechus Yogen Aleinu says about working on preparing for Pesach? Listen to what he says. It's a wild idea. He says, the same malachim that are created by Tekiah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah to protect the Jewish people are created by cleaning for Pesach to protect the Jewish people. Is that crazy? This is what he says. And that's why they say, but the Beis Aaron of Karlin, Chuzagin Aleinu, that there was a time that, I mean, back in the day with wooden tables, what would a lot of people do before Pesach? They would sand down the whole table. And the Hasidim came and said, Rebbe, let's buy you a Pesach table. Let's buy you Pesach silverware so you don't have to kasher. And he said, do you understand what I'm doing when I'm sanding down the table? Do you understand the zechusim that we're bringing for Klal Yisrael when I'm sanding down the table? I mean, it's like, seriously, just buy another table. Like, really? No, but he wouldn't. He said that there's a tremendous, do you know what the Berditchever says? When we prepare like this, when we're down and we're scrubbing and we're looking for the chametz and we're cleaning, and again, it doesn't mean to go, you know, Pesach cleaning is not spring cleaning. Michelle and I were talking whether or not we need a halachashir. Maybe next week we'll discuss whether or not we're on halachashir. Questions before, we could do that next week. Maybe we'll do that Monday night. Send me questions, Michelle questions, whatever you'd like. We don't have, you know, you don't have to move the fridge. Unless you think there's like a yodel under the fridge. You don't that someone might reach and eat on. You don't have to move a fridge. You don't have to move a washing machine, right? You don't have to. You know, that's where Baruch Simon Shlita always says, you know, that you know, I've never opened the sefer on Pesach and the yodel fell out. You know what I mean? Like, so he's like, you don't have to go, if he was mother that if you're bringing a sefer to the table when you're eating, then you should give it a little shake before, but you don't have to do that before Pesach necessarily, because whatever crumbs are not in violation of Bali Rabbi Matzah. Okay, we're not next week if you want the halachas here. But that's one thing the Berditchever says. But even more, listen to this. This is a wild idea. A wild idea from a number of different tzaddikim, from Vizhnitz, from Azharov and others, that they make a little bit of a gezeira shava. We talk about Pesach, va'avadtem es avodah hazos b'chodesh hazeh, and you will do this service in B'chodesh Hazen this month. They connect it to a pasuk, Bizos Yavo Aron El HaKodesh. What's that talking about? Bizos Yavo Aron El HaKodesh? It's talking about the avoda on Yom Kippur. So you know what these tzaddikim say? The avoda of getting ready for Pesach is the avoda of Yom Kippur. It's the avoda of the Kohen Gadol going Lefnai V'Lefnim on Yom Kippur. You see, it's crazy. It's wild. They say there's a story that one chassid came to the Rishoner. This is a famous chassidus shemais. I'm sure I told it many times before. That one chassid came to the Rishoner, was coming to the Rishoner for Pesach, and he got there so late, and everyone was home doing bedikas chametz. So where is this guy going to go? So he goes to the shul, and he's exhausted. He falls asleep in the shul. And by the time he's still sleeping there, the Rishoner finished the bedik in his house. It took a little long time. The Rishoner comes into the shul, and he does the bedik in the Beis Medrash, and he starts saying, Kol Chamira v'chamia, right? And this guy wakes up. He says, Kol Nidre! I didn't say eat my suit on mafsekis yet! The guy's like so discombobulated, because he's hearing the Rishoner when he says, Kol Chamira v'chamia, it's Aramaic. He's saying it with a niggin. There were some tzaddikim who would say it with the niggun of Kol Nidre. Some tzaddikim who would say it three times, like Kol Nidre, saying it louder each and every time. And the chassidim who were with the Rishoner were chuckling at this guy, jumped up, Kol Nidre. The Rishoner says, don't laugh. Don't laugh. It's not such a joke. The avod of getting ready for Pesach is like a Kol Nidre. And so we have to understand that when we are working and pushing ourselves, And again, it's we understand this is an easy thing. This is very hard. But the perspective that we have to it, the payoff is tremendous. And we know what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says in multiple places, it's quoted by the Mesil Susharim in multiple places, that Misha Tarach Be'erev Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos, that the person who toils on Erev Shabbos, they will eat on Shabbos. And it's a Klal Gadol in all of Kedusha. Kedusha Tzricha Achana, that when you prepare, then you're Zocha to get from it. And he says, from quotes from the Derech Pekudecha, who's the Bnei Yisaschar, his Sefer HaMitzvos, if you will, that when a person is Mekayim a Mitzvah, right, is, as a burden, so when a Mitzvah is a very, very difficult Mitzvah for the person, he says, the payoff, he says, is that much more. That when a person toils in a mitzvah, he says, the nachas ruach that you're giving, the sweetness that you're creating by toiling in a mitzvah, and the Rimnaver says the same thing. He says, if you don't tire yourself out in doing the mitzvahs, you can't really taste the sweetness of the mitzvah. And why is that? Why is it you can't taste the sweetness of the mitzvah? So first and foremost is that the more we work ourselves physically, we're spiritually refining ourselves. It was once in the Chabad Yeshiva that there was a bacher who had difficulty getting along with people. His midos, a certain arrogance, and the Rebbe Riatz, who then was working in the yeshiva, came to his father, the Rebbe Rishab, and said, you know, what do we do with this guy? The Rebbe Rishab thought and said, when we start getting ready for Pesach and yeshiva, because boys didn't go home for yeshiva, right? They stayed straight for years. When we start getting ready for Pesach, give this guy the hardest jobs. Give him the jobs that he's going to have to sweat the most. And this bacher took the jobs, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked unbelievably. unbelievably. And the Rebbe Riat on Pesach learned with him, and he went to his father. He said, "His kishronos, like what happened? He's unbelievable in learning." And his father said, "Didn't you give him those jobs?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's why." The Rebbe Rashab said, "I see on him. I see he's a different surah. This bachur is a different bachur than he was 2 weeks ago. He's a different person. Why? Because when we toil for a mitzvah, the payoff is unbelievable. Aside from the fact that Afayomi just learned on Shabbos, Rerev Shabbos, that to the degree that a person toils in something, Rashi says in Bamatzia, Lamaches Chaviva Alav Ali Desha Amelben, when a person toils for something, it becomes chaviv to you. When you invest in something, you care about it and you want it more. And it's something that is more meaningful to you. So when we prepare for Pesach in this way, with the avoda, again, I know it's not easy, but really toiling for it, understand, then it becomes more chaviv to you. Because easy come, easy go. Right? It doesn't have the same effect. And, you know, there is an idea we've shared before. I don't know if anyone remembers it to ask, but don't we say that on Pesach, Hashem pours in the spiritual energy to us as a gift? Because we were in Pesach. We weren't in Egypt. We weren't worthy. We're on the 49th level of Tumah. And we say Pesach is what's known as in the Serusa de Laila, an awakening from above. That it all comes from Hashem, even without us really working. So why do we have to work so hard to be able to access all of this spiritual energy and spiritual blessing? And so he says, we've mentioned this idea before, one idea from the Kajan Tzur Magid and others, that what you have to do is you have to open up the shades. You have to open up the window shades, right? What does that mean? Meaning the Zohar says, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Laila Kayom Yair. There's one night that shines like day. What night is that? That's Laila Seder. It's shining like day. What does that mean? It means the sphere of Chachma Hashem is pouring in tremendous, tremendous Shefa, tremendous divine energies and blessings. So what you have to do to access it, you just have to open up the windows. The sun is shining outside, but if the Trisim are closed, right? You know, in Israel, Trisim, you remember Trisim? Mm-hmm. When the Trisim are down, you have no idea. Is it day outside? Is it night outside, right? No? Mira? Trisim? Lamamish.
I was just thinking the blinds
here. Right, did it right. The blinds here are just not nearly the same. Mm-hmm. Trisim, mamish, you don't see anything. You don't know what it is. So you have to open up the Trisim to let it in. But there's also another pshat. We just said, easy come, easy go. When, you're right, Hashem's going to pour divine energy in. And a person's Seder night is brought to a lofty level. But is it going to stay with you? Does it stay with you? We know. There are many, many biblical figures who experienced tremendous, tremendous spiritual awakenings. And what happened to them? It didn't change them at all. Whether you're talking about a Paro, who says about Etzba Elokimi, you can say this Mach is the Etzba of God. You can talk about Bilam. You can talk about Lavan. Talk about a lot of biblical figures who had revelations from God and it didn't affect them, it didn't do anything to them. Because easy come, easy go. But when you prepare, that's when it has the kiyum. That's when it stays with you. And remember, that's the famous story we told about Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Rav Shimshon Pinkus told the Bachar who was once kvetching a little about preparing for Pesach, that it was so hard. So he said, Rav Shimshon Pinkus said, "You should know, 1 year Pesach, I worked so hard. It was my first Pesach as a Bacher. And again, boys didn't go home. Rav Pinkus, he went to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go home till like 4 years later. Something like that. So he said the first year Pesach, he accepted upon himself, when they were all divvying up all the jobs, he took upon himself to clean the dira, to clean the apartment. And again, diras, as we've said, can be really, really disgusting. Never recommend you ever walk into a dira around the Meisharim Geula area that yeshiva guys live in. They're very unique, those diras. Rav Shimshon Pinkus took upon himself to clean the dira. And he said he never worked like this before. He mamish was slaving away. He said, yomam v'layla. He said, the night of Bedikya was still working. Cleaning one final place. he davens early Erev Pesach. Everyone else is taking care of everything else. The guy's taking care of the matzahs, the guy's taking care of the cutlery, the guy's taking care of, the drinks, the guy's taking care of the mar, the guy's taking care of the food, the guy's taking care of the cooking. His job, the one job he had, was clean. And he did it, he said, he didn't realize. It took him mamish 2 weeks. He never worked like that before. And he told the Bachar, Erev Pesach, he wanted a chaparai and a big nap. He wasn't able to. Just Erev Pesach, there's still things you have to get. You have to get a haircut before Chatzos, and the things you wanted to learn, and things to say. And he, just Erev Pesach, he barely had any chance to rest. And he told this Bachar, he said, I was going to sit down at Seder, and I was sure after that first kos, he was going to be out. He said, we sat down to the Seder, and this is what he told him. He said, a spiritual light entered me that lifted me to the highest spiritual place I was ever at in my life, up until that point. He said it was the most unbelievable experience. And the Bachar said to him, how long did that last? And Pinchas looked at him and smiled and said, who said it ever left? Huh. Right? And he told his Bachar that those 2 weeks that he mamish worked like he never worked before, cleaning that dira, was transformational for his spiritual life. It changed him spiritually, totally, totally, totally. And this is why when we talk about the Hachanas, yes, we're going to daven. Yes, we're going to yearn for Pesach. Yes, we're going to learn Torah of Pesach. But most of all, that which takes the greatest amelus, the greatest effort, the greatest igia, the greatest toiling, is of course the cleaning, the kashering, the getting everything ready. But as we've seen, the Berditchever says, it creates malachim, protective forces, like the sounds of the shofar. Vision Sir Tzadikim and others say, Vizos Yovo Aaron, that it's the avod of the Kohen Gadol going lefnai v'lefnim on Yom HaKippurim. What we have to do, as we're now holding by Chodesh Nisan, is to understand the sweetness of these preparations. Doesn't mean they're not hard, but it doesn't mean they're not sweet. And to try and create that perspective for ourselves, to try and see it that way, and most of all, as the Rokeach, quoting the Yerushalmi, just be careful how we speak about it. Be careful what words we use. Not only what our kids hear, but what it does to us spiritually, the Rokeach says. Not to speak in certain ways. To speak about the sweet Pesach preparations, to speak about the joy we're going to have and the excitement we're going to have in cleaning for Pesach and going through every pocket. I've always found the pockets of them, they are hidden treasure troves of chametz. You know, they're hidden treasure troves of chametz. Oh my gosh. And of course, backpacks, we all know, right? But when you go to the backpack after Pesach, like, oh, here's that box of pretzels. I guess you didn't check your backpack really well before Pesach, right? So that always happens. But it's tedious. And it's time-consuming. And it takes a lot of effort. But understand that it could be the sweetest of the sweet. These efforts, this avoda hazos, can be bringing us to an amazing, amazing place. And as we said, that the more effort that goes into mitzvah, or Chaim HaKadosh Mdavers, and so many others, to that degree, you are going to experience this alus of Lel HaSeder and the spiritual energies of the entire Pesach. So I hope, Be'ezus Hashem, we can try to think about these things. Start learning one thing a day about Pesach. One idea, get out of Haggadah. Take one idea a day that you're going to learn. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, that's all it has to be. In our tefillahs, to understand the power of tefillahs in this month. As we said, the whole month in Eis Ratzon for tefillah, to be mispalel in this way, a month that has tremendous koach, and to start yearning for the geula of a Pesach. For us, bichlal, bifrat, individually, but also Bechlal, of course, as we said, that the power of Pesach is the power of Geula. And to think that our avoda should be to work extra hard because we need the Shefa for all of the Jewish people. We need to bring down tremendous lights. And understanding that Purim just prepares us for Pesach. Purim, we reach a level of bitachon. But once you reach bitachon, it now brings us to a much higher level of emunah that we're going to access on Pesach. Even though we said we start on the bottom, Pesach, and then we work our way up to Purim, which is the biggest. So now when we go back to the bottom and start again? No. We leveled up. We went through one level called Tavshin, right? The Yamim Tovim that were started in Tavshin Pei Gimel. Now we're starting the Maslul, the path of the Yom Tovim of Tavshin Pei Dalet with Pesach. And it sets the tone for the entire year. The entire year of Yom Tovim. So Hashem Bez Hashem will allow us, the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, the Avodah of the Tekiyas, should bring a tremendous Shana Tova. Should bring a Shana Tova, Mesuka, and Aleph Nisan is a day that Hashem came into the Mishkan. The light of redemption starts shining tremendously, tremendously on this day. Bezus Hashem will be zocha through our avoda to Shana Hazu, Birushalayim Habinuya. This month, no tachanan this month.
Is Nisan the only one that you have no hespedim, or is there any other month?
No, it's the only month. The whole month you're not supposed to have hespedim. The whole month you're not supposed to have hespedim. Yeah, yes. For sure, the whole month.